Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980. And always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. I'm giving the draft class an A-, and I'm including Laremy Tunsil and Deebo Samuel. I understand what the caller before was saying is, I'm not including them because I want to get younger. But the goal for this year was to improve the roster so that you can win 10-plus games again, get back to the postseason, probably win a playoff game, but you want to host a playoff game, right? We want to give the fan base, who's been dormant for 30 years now, something to cheer about. They have this incredible season. You got to build off that. Give them a home playoff game this year. And so I think Adam Peters done a fantastic job. I thought he was aggressive as hell with the Laremy Tunsil and Deebo trade, which allowed him to then get Connerly late in the first at right tackle, Amos in the second round, which takes a lot of pressure off Sangerstil and Lattimore, and then Jalen Lane in the fourth round. And I got to cover Jalen Lane the last few years at Virginia Tech. He started at MTSU, and in 2022, his final year there, he had 5 touchdowns and nearly was an 1,000-yard receiver. That's how he got on the Hokies' radar and moved to the ACC. And the last 2 years for Virginia Tech, he has been their Swiss Army knife at wide receiver that they can just get the ball to in space, and he can take off. He's had yards on the ground from ends around and reverses, really good through the air as well on some screen passes and underneath stuff where he catches it, makes the guy miss, and takes off. And then he is a star as a punt returner and had a touchdown this year as a punt returner, had a touchdown 3 years ago as a punt returner on a 70-yarder, a 58-yarder against Marshall this year. He makes guys miss. He's shifty, and he keeps his body moving the whole time. He doesn't really, like, juke and then pause. It's like a juke, and he keeps going, and he keeps picking up speed. He's 5'10", 196 pounds. But he's, like, one of those guys that played an extra year of college football, and I think that's going to help him in the NFL. He's 23 already. He played 5 years of competitive college football and meaningful snaps. You know, we talk about Jaden Daniels and his experience from all the college reps he got. I think that's going to help Jalen Lane a lot, who I'm slotting in already as our starting punt returner, and I think he could make his way up to wide receiver 4 for the Washington Commanders by the start of the regular season. If you want to chime in your thoughts on the draft class, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to John in Newburgh. John, you're on the fan with AWOD.
Hey, AWOD, how you doing? I'm glad you just talked about our new wide receiver Lane. That's what I was calling about, and I'm glad you gave that little synopsis about him.
Yeah, but John, I got my guy, John. You know I was asking for my wide receiver.
were you at home or were you in a bar when he was picked?
I was out at a bar with some friends. Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I was there because I know you would have bought a couple rounds for the house.
I mean, it was perfect. Right.
Remember last week I said that don't be surprised if they pick a linebacker. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering maybe if you get a minute or so, maybe you could critique this new linebacker that we got.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So I appreciate the call, John. So first I'll mention, you know, when Jalen Lane gets selected, I'm fired up because, boom, we got the wide receiver I wanted, and he's a Hokie, so I covered him at Virginia Tech. And number three, I think he's really going to be an impactful player at special teams. Dynamic kickoffs are here to stay. Punt returner is, as much as I love Jameson Crowder, he was getting a little, you know, long in the tooth, right?
He was getting a little old. So I'm so glad we got him. I know you're very, very happy about it.
Yeah. So linebacker Kane Medrano out of UCLA, as much as I've heard is that he is a very fast linebacker who played a little bit all over the defensive side of the field, maybe some safety that can come up in the box and help out in the run game. But as a few callers mentioned, he fits what Adam Peters went after here, which is like top-of-the-line athletes, right? And so I think that's what you hope the Kane Medrano can turn into here is he is an athlete that maybe the defensive coaches here in Washington can find a way to find a spot on the field for him to be effective.
Right, and you know, we're walking around like spoiled children when it comes to our linebacker core, but you know, we need to Bobby's getting up there, so we really need to look at that position.
Yeah, and it's just going to be great for his development to learn from Bobby Wagner. Even if he never becomes anything, being behind Bobby will certainly help him out a lot. And that, I think that there's an opportunity for the seventh-round pick to get involved in special teams and maybe as a backup running back as well. It's very interesting that because of NIL and the transfer portal, he transfers from New Mexico to Arizona, only was clear to play one game. After that, he didn't play. So basically, you're watching tape from him a year before, which sucks if you're breaking him down. But also, that's a full season where he doesn't get wear and tear on his body. So I think that's going to help him.
Okay, Adam. Well, thanks. And you have a good weekend now.
Yep. No worries, John. I appreciate you chiming in. Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. So you've heard my thoughts. I really do like this draft. I'm willing to put it on the table here and say pre-draft, if the over-under was 10.5, I would have said under to 9-10 wins. If it's 10.5, I'm saying over now after this draft. I really think that the Connerly pick makes the offensive line so much better. And there's question marks, right? Like Mitch Sisser said, can he successfully transition from left tackle to right tackle? Can Brandon Coleman successfully transition from left tackle to left guard? I mean, you could argue that they have three left tackles on the roster in Coleman, Tunsil, and Connerly Jr., but I think that's going to help them. I talked about Mekhi Becton was a tackle that moved to guard. Eric Flowers was a tackle that had success here in Washington as a guard. You're getting bigger and stronger on the line. That was a big part of my plan for the offseason was to bulk up, get beefier, and that way we can have more success dominating in the trenches. And that was an issue this year. And I think it got masked by Jaden Daniels' abilities. Like, the game on the line, the biggest game of the season, Tampa Bay, 4th and 1 or 4th and 2, and we did a fake handoff, and Jaden ran around the corner on the outside. That worked, but that's not what you want to do on a consistent basis. You want to be able to line up on 4th and 1 and just move the pile forward 1 yard, right? Well, they didn't have the faith in the offensive line to do that last year. And Cliff Kingsbury went into Adam Peters' office and told him, and he left a note about drafting the tackle out of Oregon, and that was because Cliff Kingsbury knows how important it is to move the pile on 3rd and 4th down, and how important it is to have an offensive line that you can trust so that you don't have to have Zach Ertz and Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler and Noah Brown chip the tackle or chip the edge rusher before they even run their route. He was limited to how many guys he could put in routes because of the limitations of last year's offensive line. I think that changes the offensive structure that Cliff Kingsbury wants to run. It should give Jaden Daniels then in time more time in the pocket to create plays downfield, maybe more explosive deep balls, which is a big part of his game. I mean, the accuracy on the deep ball, it just, wow, it drops in a bucket. Give him more opportunities to throw the deep ball. So I think we've done an incredible job. I would say 11 wins right now, and I feel pretty confident about that. Now, my next question for you guys, 1-800-636-1067. We've mentioned the rookies, all right? We've talked at length about them, and, Trey Amos, love that pick. Really think it's going to work out for Washington. Connerly Jr., man, a steal at 29 because he is such an athlete. Jalen Lane in the fourth now. Kane Medrano in the sixth. Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt in the seventh. Which of those draft picks is under the most pressure in the 2025 training camp? 1-800-636-1067. Is your first-round pick under the most pressure? Is it your corner? Is it Jalen Lane because he's going to be asked to do punt return, kick return, and wide receiver? Is it one of these sixth or seventh-round picks just for them? The struggle is to make the roster. Which of the five draft selections that Adam Peters made is under the most pressure to perform in the 2025 training camp? I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on DC Sports Radio 106.7, The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, live and local here on The Fan till 12 noon. Linnell Willingham will take over after me. And we're talking about the Commanders draft class, five picks that Adam Peters made. And when you're talking about this draft class, I'm including Laremy Tunsil and Deebo Samuel. And I just think that we have to give Adam Peters a ton of credit for the depth chart changes from 2024 to 2025. You know, at this time last year, it was Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson, right? And Luke McCaffrey. I mean, Terry McLaurin, Deebo Samuel, Noah Brown, Jalen Lane, Luke McCaffrey, Michael Gallup looks a lot better. We had questions about tight end. Start of last year. Now we know we're locked into Ertz, and I'm excited to see Ben Sennett take some serious steps forward in year two. The offensive line, we focused on that a ton. It's massively upgraded. Corners last year, week one, were Emmanuel Forbes and Benjamin St. Juice. Now it's going to be Marshawn Lattimore, Mike Sanderstill, and Trey Amos. And so I just think that what we've done is a fantastic job in the draft class here, and now as we look ahead to the rest of, you know, the offseason here with OTAs and training camp and everyone getting together in Ashburn and grinding to prepare for the 2025-2026 season, which rookie is going to be under the most pressure? So I'll make the case for each, and you can chime in, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. You know, we'll start with the seventh-round pick. A lot of seventh-round picks don't sniff a roster. You'll be lucky if they make the practice squad. There's certainly a lot of pressure for Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt, who played only one game his final season in college. And he's behind B-Rob, Austin Eckler, Jeremy McNichols, who was paid to return, Chris Rodriguez, who was paid to stick around. And the addition of Deebo Samuel. He will have to have one of the most fantastic training camps just to make this roster. Certainly under a ton of pressure. Can he find a way to make an impact on this team in special teams? Or maybe as a third down back, catching the ball out of the backfield. Jacory Kroski-Merritt is under a lot of pressure, and I'm not sure he makes the roster. Sixth-round pick Kane Madrano is like a tweener between a safety and a linebacker. He's going to be under pressure dealing with the fact that he is so young under next to veterans and Hall of Famer Bobby Wagner. And you got Frankie Louvu on the roster. And there are guys that were here last year that they still care about and think can deserve a spot, like Jordan McGee. And Nick Bellore was an awesome special teamer. So for Kane Madrano, he's going to be under a lot of pressure to try to make some headway and get into the depth chart at all at the linebacker position. Fourth-round pick Jalen Lane, the wide receiver out of Virginia Tech. He's dealing with, we made upgrades at the wide receiver position. You're looking at Terry, Deebo, Noah Brown, Luke McCaffrey. They brought in Michael Gallup. They paid K.J. Osborne to stick around. And then it's Jalen Lane. And, oh, yeah, he's got pressure to play and perform as a punt returner and maybe even a kick returner as well. And he's going to have to learn because he's a rookie here. He's going to have to learn how to find a way to get open against the zone, how to, you know, really set up the blocking. I think that's going to be the difficult thing for Jalen Lane, which is, you know, Cliff Kingsbury really relies on his wide receivers blocking downfield. He is a smaller guy. And then you look, second-round pick, Trey Amos. And then first-round pick, Josh Connerly Jr., who's going to have to move from left tackle to right tackle. That's going to be a lot of pressure. Who's under the most pressure of the 2025 draft class? For me, I think it's Trey Amos. I really do. I think everybody that's a Commanders fan is going to look at him at training camp, and they're going to start saying, well, how much better is he than Emmanuel Forbes was, right? And that's what we're all going to remember when we think about Trey Amos here is, man, we botched that Emmanuel Forbes draft pick so badly that we had to use another pick just a few years later on a cornerback in the second round. And there's a lot of pressure on Trey Amos to be a up-in-your-face press coverage cornerback, which is the most difficult type of cornerback to be, and we saw how Marshon Lattimore struggled with that last year. I think there's a ton of pressure on Trey Amos. I'm not saying he won't, you know, pressure turns you into diamonds, right? I'm not saying he won't succeed, but of the five draft picks, I think the most amount of pressure is on cornerback Trey Amos to be a starting cornerback in the National Football League. He's going to have to be our cornerback too, or if he's not good enough, they're just going to say, all right, Sainristil, you proved you could play on the outside last year. And we'll do Lattimore and Sainristil and give Amos some time to develop. I think he's going to be under the most pressure of the five draft picks when we get to 2025 training camp. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Kelly in Hyattsville. What's up, Kelly?
Hey, Wad. Happy Saturday to you, man.
Thank you, man.
Hey, two quick points. I think that Adam Peters needs to get a standing ovation for what he's done in the last two drafts. And if you think about that initial press conference when he was hired and he was asked specifically about the talent, the current talent on the roster, and he took a drink of water. He might have taken two drinks. And then he still waited. And he said, we have some good foundational pieces. And he didn't lie. There was a couple of foundational pieces and Terry McLaurin and some other guys. So he knew he was starting with a reclamation project. And then he discovered probably around week six or week seven when we went on that run, right, that Jaden Daniels is a beast. He's not just good, like, hey, we drafted a guy, he could start. He's a beast. And then in week 10, really is when this draft started, when they got Marshon Lattimore. When they made that commitment, they knew, hey, we got a rookie, a limited amount of time to take advantage of this, and we need to build a veteran team around him like right now. And I love what they've done. They have put in potential or future Hall of Famers as a layer of competition for any rookies or other free agents coming in. It's brilliant. So, yeah, we drafted you, but you got to work your way up through Zach Ertz. Yeah, we drafted you, but you got to work your way up through Bobby Wagner. And what that does is it sets the floor high, right? And then it teaches young players how to be pros. And then they bring in pros who want to play here. And so he's done such a – the whole organization has done such a great job of saying, yo, we didn't realize we were going to be this good this soon. Let's build a team that could take advantage of that. At the same time, let's not mortgage the future.
So, Kelly, I agree with everything you're saying. Devil's advocate, how would you respond to those that say Adam Peters has neglected the edge rusher position and they don't have a good enough pass rush?
Okay, so this is what I would say to that. And the good thing about this organization that has adults in the building is they're not really hiding anything from you when they speak to you. They said through the draft and verbally, we like what we got. And Joe Witt always preaches team defense. If you do your job, then the whole rush will be better. Corners, if you keep the dudes in front of you, disrupt timing, hey, the rush becomes better. Offense, you put 30, 35 points on the board, the defense becomes better because we can, you know, slot people into doing one thing. So I trust this organization because they've shown that they know what they're doing. So the rush is going to be good because the team defense and the speed and the aggressiveness is better as a whole. So I don't really worry about it. We're not spending $35 to $40 million on a freaking edge rusher, one edge rusher. There's no way. I doubt they'll ever do that unless it's one of our own.
Right. But and the thing is, Kelly, there were no Commanders fans last year that said, thank God we got Dante Fowler Jr.
Exactly. And look what he produced. And then he did what he did. And then we recognized, man, we got to get more stout on the end. We need some dudes who can set the edge. So these speed guys in the back seven can get and make tackles. And Bobby's not getting eaten up with double teams and people getting to the second level like Philly did against us. So they know what they're doing. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But I love where we're at.
So which of the draft picks is under the most pressure?
That's a great question. I would say I would agree with you. I heard what you said about Amos. I think he's going to probably have the most pressure to get up to speed and start, because if you could put him, the other D-back, I can't remember his name, from that we got from New Orleans.
Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah, Lattimore. If you put those three out, that automatically speeds quarterbacks up, because all them dudes are aggressive in your face. You're not going to get clean releases on us. And then we know how to attack the ball. Like, we're savvy at attacking the ball. So I anticipate, you know, particularly when we're playing with, you know, bottom 15 quarterbacks, they're going to pull the bound, you know, the ball down. They're going to get the first read, and it's going to make the rush better. So I think he's the one they want to get up to speed quickest.
Good call, man. I appreciate you chiming in. Great stuff.
All right,
phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. I just want to close out the discussion about the upgrades the Commanders made by saying, you know, I don't want to overlook the fact that I think we also made two upgrades as special teams, at kicker and at punt return, kick return with Jalen Lane. Kicker, Matt Gay comes in, and I don't know how good he'll be, but I have more confidence in him already based on what he's done for his career than Zane Gonzalez and Austin Seibert. It just simply comes down to that, right? I mean, I have more faith in a guy who's been an 85% field goal kicker for his career, and maybe he struggled from 50-plus. He's been great from 30 to 39 and really good from 40 to 49. He's never missed inside of 30 yards. I mean, we now have confidence that if Jaden Daniels gets to the 25-yard line, we're going to get at least 3 points. And that could be three more points per game than we had last year. I mean, even though Austin Seibert had that 7-for-7 game against the Giants and we won with his kick, I never had confidence in him. And then we doinked it in a playoff game. Got an upgrade at kicker and punt returner, upgrades on offensive line, upgrades at wide receiver, maybe at running back if Deebo Samuel can be in charge of this and really be an impact player with, you know, maybe 30 carries on the season. I don't have to be too much, but maybe he can help us out at the goal line as well. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we return, we're going to talk some ponies. Kentucky Derby today. Matt Valdez is our horse expert on The Fan from the Sports Junkies. He joins me next. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD on The Fan. Time to get up and at 'em with Adam Epstein talking all things DC sports here on DC Sports Radio. 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980. Always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today like I do and use it Monday through Friday. You could take the radio show with you on the road. I don't have to get up anymore at 6 a.m. for the sports junkies. So I rewind on the Odyssey app to see what the fellas have to say. Love the Odyssey app. Download it today for free anywhere you get your apps at. And joining us right now on the Rude guest hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Let me make sure I get this introduction right. Joining me right now, the man behind the glass of the greatest morning show in DC sports, producer extraordinaire, show historian, and the host of the very successful Bit Season podcast, it's Matt Valdez.
Adam, what's up, bud? How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Let's get right into it. Start with this. Explain to me like I'm stupid, and I know you think I am stupid, how to place an exacta bet and a trifecta bet.
So an exacta bet is when you go to your FanDuel app or you go to the teller if you're in person at a track. You select exacta, and you're picking who you think is going to come in first and who you think is going to come in second. And a trifecta is who you think is going to come in first, who's going to come in second, who's going to come in third. Now, what you can do with your exactas and trifectas is box them, which means any of those two horses in your exacta can finish in any order. So if you finish, or so if you pick the one and the two horse, the one and can come in first or second, and the two can come in first or second. And the same thing with the trifecta. You can do as many horses as you want in a box, but it's financially foolish to take 10 horses and exact a box. It's going to be a very expensive ticket.
Matt Valdez with us here on the Rude guest hotline. So you're the horse betting expert on the junkies. How old were you when you got into this? I know you share the Uncle Kenny stories all the time.
My Uncle Kenny kind of brought me along, taught me how to read a program, a daily racing forum at a very young age. I remember my first time at a track, I believe you had to be 21 to go there, but I had a fake ID and we went to Delaware Park. And we ended up hitting a couple horses when we were 19 years old. And I've been doing it ever since. I've been to the Preakness once, never been to the Derby though.
All right. So break down the board for us. Which of the ponies do you like?
Okay, so the Derby's always is probably the most fun race that you can watch and bet on. Second is probably the Breeders' Cup, but it's because you have 20 horses who are all quality horses. They're all of good pedigree. They've all won stakes races throughout the horse racing season, so they're very qualified horses. But out of those qualified horses, you really only have a handful who really, really, really stand out and are head and shoulders above some of the other horses. They're the cream of the crop, meaning the stakes races they've won, like the Florida Derby or the Arkansas Derby or the Santa Anita Derby, are harder races. Their speed figures in those races are better than some of the other horses who have qualified. And so some of the horses who've qualified that are kind of the cream of the crop are Journalism, who is the overwhelming favorite, Sovereignty, also Luxor Cafe, who was a Japanese horse, and Burnham Square. I think those are probably the cream of the crop horses that have a legit shot pre-race, who can definitely win the Kentucky Derby. But Journalism is your outright favorite, as he should be. The horse is undefeated in like course horses or course races. It won at the Santa Anita Derby. It's the type of horse where it can run out to a quick lead, or it has the ability to stalk, which means it can kind of hang around in the middle of the pack, wait for the horses in the front to get tired, and then all of a sudden have a late surge at the three-quarter pole. Its speed figures are off the chart. You look at it compared to the other horses, it should be a two and three lengths better than some of the best horses in this race. But the only problem is it's a 20-horse race. Horses can get bottled up. You really have no idea like what's going to happen in the middle of the pack. The horse could get spooked. It could have a bad trip, meaning it has to go longer around turns than some of the other horses.
So there's a lot of unpredictability to the Kentucky Derby, but on paper, Journalism is the best horse in this field.
Yeah, but isn't Journalism dead, right? I mean, I wouldn't bet on Journalism right now. You could share a tweet, and that's considered Journalism.
Yeah, you know what? Next year, Blogger will be the favorite.
Hey, Valdez, how do you know? You know, I feel like every year I look at the horses, and then a couple of jockeys' names stick out. How do you know which are the big sillies in terms of the jockeys?
Just based off of experience, you kind of know Mike Smith has run a lot of Derby races. They have Derby experience. It's almost like playoff experience. Mm-hmm. You know, rookie quarterbacks, they can, you know, fare well in the postseason, but it's hard for a rookie quarterback to win a Super Bowl. It's just reps. It's kind of knowing what trip you're going to take. I think jockeys are important, but I actually think the trainers are more important. Like this year, kind of a cool story is Bob Baffert is returning to Churchill Downs after a 3-year suspension. His horse is Citizen Bull. That's the number one horse. And you'll see that thing shoot out of the gate early and take a really, really, really quick lead. But Baffert usually has a pretty good horse in this race. He had two, one scratched, I believe, yesterday. Dominguez. So he's going to have one that's going to run out there very early, and you'll kind of see him. Maybe he'll hit, it'll tire out, but it'll still hold on for fourth or fifth if you're playing a superfecta or anything like that.
I'll be looking forward to it. I'll be watching the Kentucky Derby this afternoon. Matt Valdez, our horse expert, with us here on the Rude Guest Hotline. A couple questions about the Derby and the festivities. Why do people feel the need to wear the biggest and brightest hats for the Kentucky Derby?
It's just the fashion. It's just what you're supposed to do. Guys got to show up in seersucker. Women need to have their dresses and big hats. You see Livy Dunn's hat yesterday? Oh, my God.
I was looking below her hat.
It's just all the pomp and circumstance of the Derby, and it's a fun day to dress up, go to a Derby party, have a mint julep, and throw a couple bucks out on the race.
Mint juleps are silly. How did that get started?
Well, it's the drink of the Derby. I believe the Preakness one is the Black Eyed Susan.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The Belmont is the Belmont Breeze. But a mint julep is just mint leaves that are muddled at the bottom of the glass, simple syrup, Kentucky bourbon, and I believe crushed ice. You have to have crushed ice when you're making a mint julep.
What are your plans for the Kentucky Derby? Do you have a party you're going to?
I have a party that's in mind. I got a conference in Uncle Kenny. He's at the track right now. He was at the track all day yesterday for the Kentucky Oaks. Uh-huh. So I gotta get a call in with Uncle Kenny. I gotta figure out what races he likes all day today, and then who he's gonna take for the Derby. He'll right. have a big old Uncle Kenny always has a big old ticket for the Derby. He'll probably spend anywhere between 100 and 300 on the Derby itself in terms of tickets.
Wow. But once again, what would you suggest our audience members maybe splash some cash on here?
Like I said, Journalism is definitely the favorite. It wouldn't shock me if Journalism won. However, you're not going to make money betting on Journalism to win unless you have them on top keyed with a bunch of other stuff. So what I always like to do is I like to zag. And I like to take a handful of horses and box them. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the new horse that got in Beza, who finished second to Journalism in the Santa Anita Derby. I'm going to box it with Luxor Cafe. That's the Japanese horse whose speed figures are unbelievable. Although a Japanese horse has never won the Kentucky Derby, I believe Forever Young last year was the closest to do so. I'm going to box it with Burnham Square. And then also Sovereignty. So I have four horses there. I'm going to do a tri-box with four of them. That should be for a dollar. I believe that's a $16 bet that you can do. And if all of those come in first, second, and third, it's going to pay pretty well because Journalism won't hit the board. So you don't have to share the prize pool with everyone betting on the favorite.
What about Citizen Bull? I mean, you kind of got me fired up about back after a 3-year suspension. For the owner,
it's a great story. It's just going to come out so fast, and this race might be the fastest since 2022. when we saw Rich Strike and how fast that was. Fast races do not favor horses that come out first like that. They just tire so easily. So this is what you should do, Adam. Why don't you put $5 on Citizen Bowl to place and show? And you're going to get all psyched when all of a sudden you see that thing out to a big lead at the quarter pole. And you're going to say, that's my horse. He's the first. So, but he's definitely going to tire because the pace will just be too outstanding for him to keep up for the entire race.
I get psyched for the get rich quick scheme. What is the most prize money you've won on a Derby?
Not on a Derby, but it was on a Breeders' Cup day. I won. It was actually, I came late to Uncle Kenny's at the track with his buddies. Mm-hmm. So I came late, so I missed like the first race or two of the day. So I finally get all settled and I do all my stuff, read the board. I had a $1 try box, I believe, with four horses, and I hit my first race of the day. It paid $1,316.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes. It was a $16 bet. I believe I had two 12 to 1s and like a 16 to 1 that came in first, second, and third. It was awesome. And Uncle Kenny couldn't believe it, how I just came in that day, won the first race, and was just as happy as could be.
That's awesome. Great story.
I will say beers were on me all day. I will say that.
Valdez, really appreciate you taking the time, man. Thanks so much, dude.
No problem, Adam.
Enjoy the Kentucky Derby. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD, live and local here on DC Sports Radio 106.7, The Fan, the Team 980. So we're covered on both ends of the dial. We're streaming in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and that's where you can find me on the free Odyssey app Monday through Friday. Just search 910 The Fan. You can hear me daily from 12 to 3 p.m. Rewind, take the show with you on the road. Also, check out the podcast, Best of AWOD Radio. It's available for you every day on your ride home. Just to recap what we've talked about on the show today, you can rewind on the Odyssey app and live and local here since 9 a.m. Linnell Willingham is coming up next. But for pretty much the first hour of the show, I talked about the NBA playoffs and how I think it has been worth watching. I was a little worried with how bad this year's regular season has been, but the matchups have been awesome. 1-2-3 Cancun, bye-bye LeBron, J.J. Redick and the Lakers. T-Wolves advance. We've got two massive games today and tomorrow. Game 7s, they're going to be fantastic. I'm going Dubs and Nugs. I told you guys that earlier on the show. And then we talked about the NFL and the Washington Commanders. And I'm giving them an A- for this draft class, and that's because I'm including Deebo Samuel and Laremy Tunsil. Because you gave up draft picks from this class to get those guys. So if we didn't trade for Deebo Samuel and Laremy Tunsil, we'd be talking about, you know, two random guys and how they fit into the offense, and is it a wide receiver and another offensive lineman? No, these guys are on the roster this year because we're all in for right now to win while Jaden Daniels is on his rookie contract. No projects, no development draft picks. I wanted guys that could play right now, so Deebo and Tunsil count. Then you talked about Connerly Jr. will probably be your starting right tackle by January, right? That's the goal, by playoffs. Trey Amos should be your starting corner by playoffs, and Jalen Lane should be your starting punt returner, in my mind, by day one. And I'm excited to see if he can develop on the field as a wide receiver as well. Pre-draft, I told you guys, over under 10.5, I would take 10 wins. Post-draft, I'd move it up to 11. You could give me one more game. I'm boosting it up. I am confident we'll win 11 games at least this season. The biggest weakness right now, I don't think it's edge rusher. I think you could argue it's tight end because Zach Ertz, as great as he was last year, well, now he's another year older, right? And another year maybe slower. And as much as I love him, he was not great yards after catch. And the tight end position is becoming the next big thing in the NFL. And you saw how good a rookie was last year in Brock Bowers, the Raiders. Would have won rookie of the year if it wasn't for quarterback in the nation's capital, right? And Dallas Goedert helps lead the Eagles to the Super Bowl. And Travis Kelce with the Chiefs. And all these teams that are making noise in the postseason have a great tight end. And our guy is Ertz. And there's a lot of pressure on Bates, who got paid to be a star blocking tight end, for him to keep that role, and for Ben Sennett to take a step forward. But I would argue it's more tight end than edge rusher, Like I told you guys, nobody was clamoring for Dante Fowler Jr. last year. We have a scheme. We have guys. We need Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. to turn those schemes into sacks. And, you know, I thought we got a really good tweet from Travis. You can always tweet me your thoughts at AWOD Radio. And he says, just a little FYI, Philadelphia did not have a pass rusher with over 8 sacks last season. Nobody on that elite defense had more than 8 sacks. I will take team defense over individual defense. Remember, we did have 4 first-round picks on defense not too long ago. That's a great point, Travis. Appreciate you tweeting me your thoughts. Kelly says, AWOD, you made a great point about special teams. They plan on being on the opponent's side of the field of the 50 a lot. Touchdown, short field goal, or bust. I love it. 4 down territory. So I think they've done a great job. I'd put it over 10.5 to 11. Biggest weakness in my mind is not edge rusher, maybe tight end. And lastly, I'll close out with this. I think Adam Peters has done his job. Like, I think Adam Peters can wash his hands, clean them, wipe them off, and be done with his job for this offseason. I think he did his job. And now we talk about the structure of the organization, right? You hire Josh Harris takes over his ownership. First hire Adam Peters. He puts together a group to come up with the coach, Dan Quinn, who hires Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt. And then they draft Jane Daniels, right? It's all about the structure there. And so I do think Adam Peters did his job. He did what he had to do this offseason, bringing in offensive line help, another weapon for Jaden and Deebo Samuel, some draft weapons like Jalen Lane and maybe Kraske Merritt. I think he's done his job. He can wipe his hands clean. Now, it's on Cliff Kingsbury. I'm saying it's now Cliff Kingsbury's job to make sure that Jaden Daniels has real growth, all right? Cliff, I love how he came back for another year. I think that was a win for this franchise, but now it's his job because, in my mind, Peters did his thing. He brought in enough players to help Jaden perform next year, right? I mean, Jaden with Deebo Samuel, that could be awesome. Jalen with a better offensive line could be awesome. Now it's up to Cliff Kingsbury. Right? Adam Peters did Cliff a favor. He got him the tackle that he wanted. Now it's up to Cliff Kingsbury to take Jaden's development to the next level, to really have some growth, to have him improve on his quick passing, improve on getting rid of the ball, improve on plays developing, improve on winning, when to take off and when to stay in the pocket, when to throw it away. Peters has done his job. Now it's on Cliff Kingsbury, and it could be his final season in charge of the Commanders offense. It's up to him now to make sure Jaden has the growth and takes that next step. I think the front office did their job. Now it's on the coaching. Coach Jaden up, and I think he will, and I think the team will win 11 games. I'm really excited about that. Stadium thoughts? Look, I'm kind of with you guys. I don't really want to talk about it anymore until it's a done deal. I do think we've gone too far to turn around. We've gone way too far to turn around. It needs to happen. It absolutely would be a massive economic impact to that area. And everybody that hosts shows at 106.7 The Fan, everybody saw the impact of Nats Park in Southeast D.C. When we moved from Lanham to Half Street, there was nothing on Half Street. You had to search to find a place to get lunch. Now there's too many places to get lunch. That growth in Southeast D.C. because of Nats Park and the learners has been fantastic. We need that at the site of RFK. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. Metal Chris running the ones and twos, doing a fantastic job as always. Once again, Valdez was an awesome guest. Same with Mitch Tischler. Here was Valdez's bet. He said box Beza with Luxor Cafe, the Japanese horse, and Burnham Square. I'm going to put a little bit of money on Bob Beathard back after a three-year suspension with Citizen Bull. Maybe I'll do what Valdez said, $5 on Citizen Bull to place and show. It's going to be a ton of fun watching the Kentucky Derby and then Game 7 in the NBA today and tomorrow. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. Go Commanders, go. I'll see you guys next Saturday on The Fans. Linnell Willingham coming up next.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. A new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.